The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
So let's take our Bibles and turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 for our Bible study tonight. And as we turn there, let's stand. And we're going to turn to James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Our theme on Wednesday nights, of course, has been launching out. And we've had some wonderful speakers with us this summer, and we're excited about a great fall season and what God has for us in Bible study in the midweek. And I am delighted you're here. I want you to find your notes and find James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Thank you for your prayers for me. The last few days have been a little bit busy. I had a busy spell here, and then I've got another busy spell in October later on in the fall. But I won't miss another Sunday for that matter, but I will have a little bit of a busy spell here and there. But I was able to preach for Brother Schmidt this past Friday, and Friday morning twice and Friday evening, and he's doing very well. And we just praise the Lord. The attendance is up, and the offerings are up, the buildings are getting tiled and painted, and I think he got some good training around here in all those departments back in the day. And so continue to pray for him, but he and his family are doing very well. Then I preached in Tennessee for Brother Mike Norris, several students here in the college from that church at Franklin Road, wonderful church. They have an awesome, beautiful building, great foyer, huge brand new restrooms, beautiful large auditorium, and air conditioned, and they had me preach out in a tent, and it was 95 degrees with humidity. And I know there's something spiritual about that. I just couldn't quite figure out. And Brother Norris kind of reminded me of myself because he kept telling the people, now it's going to cool off in here just in a minute. And then he said, I think it's cooling off right now in here. I think it's really cooling off. And I'm thinking, man, I'm up here on the platform with lights on me. It is not cooling off up here. But had a great meeting there. It's a great church and great time. They had 31 saved on Sunday morning. And we were able to thank them for sending students to the college and for their friendship. And then I diverted down to try to get to Matt and Katie and wound up missing several flights, and then wound up driving through one night to get to another airport and finally got down to see the grandbaby. So I say all that to say this. If I start speaking in tongues tonight, raise your hand and I'll pull over and ask for an interpreter, all right? And but we're excited to be here, and I'm excited about this passage of Scripture, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. James 1:21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the book of James and for the way we are reminded tonight that we are to rightly respond to your word. Bless our Bible study time, Lord, and speak to our hearts, and bless the other studies and seminars around the campus tonight. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, if you'll recall, way back on the first Sunday of January 2013, we kicked off our theme, which of course is the theme that we've been following, Launch Out. And in that message from Luke's Gospel, we learn that the Lord had commanded the disciples that they were to launch out into the deep and let down their nets, and that was his command. And so Peter, the Bible tells us, responded by saying, Lord, I'm not sure how this is going to work out, but then he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You remember that message, I trust. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, the key phrase that we studied back in January was that phrase, at thy word. Let's say that together. At thy word. And the emphasis this year has been on when the word of God is spoken, we want to respond. At his word, we just want to follow through on what the Lord has prompted us to do, at thy word. And that's the issue tonight. Are we willing, are we ready to respond, not just back in January, but tonight to the Word of God. And a lot of people get excited in January about Bible reading and goals and the Word of God. But here we are coming down around the corner here into the fall season, down the home stretch. And I just want to challenge you in our Bible study tonight, let's keep that spirit at thy word. Now, Peter said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And I have some pastor friends that they want to talk about this fact that Jesus said, let down the nets. And Peter said, I'll let down the net. And so they want to talk about disobedience or partial obedience. And some want to talk about textual criticism and so forth. We don't do that. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Just for the moment, I just want to say, way to go, Peter, for getting a net in the water, okay? How many of you feel like instead of criticizing someone who did something, that all of us ought to say, God, help me at your word to be obedient tonight. Now, we want to be fully obedient. I understand that. But Peter said, at thy word I will. And many times tonight in our Christian lives, we have preachers come through. Dr. Getch, I understand, preached great messages on Sunday. We have special guests. I preach. And a lot of times you can open the Word of God and read the Scripture. But here's the deal. If we don't have that spirit that says, I will, then all it is just an exercise in academia or just going through some religious motion. And so this little Bible study tonight is to remind us that when God's Word is speaking to our hearts, we want to always say, I will, to the Lord, all right? I will. How do we respond? Just like Peter did. I will let down the net. Now, God's Word is to be implanted and hidden deeply into our hearts. I don't know why I think this thought, but sometimes I think to myself, what would it be like if suddenly we were overtaken by a foreign power, Bibles were taken away, and all of a sudden it was me in a jail cell and no Bible? Now, I don't know why I think that. You say, Pastor, you're very depressive thought patterns here, you know. And I don't know where that thought comes from, but I think it's because I've read so much about past generations where that actually happened, where the Bibles were burned, where pastors were imprisoned, where Christians were imprisoned. And I've been to certain places. I've been to some of the prison camps in Germany, and I've seen where people were placed into prison and not allowed, those that were Christians, most were Jews, but not allowed to have a Bible, not allowed to read, and so forth. And I often think this to myself as I'm having this strange thought process. I think, I pray that I will have hid enough Scripture in my heart that I can still feast on manna from heaven, even if I didn't have my Bible. And that's how receptive God wants us to be to His Word. He wants it to get deep down into our hearts. And so let's talk about that tonight. First of all, I want you to notice, He wants us to receive the Word. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word. Now, as we come to this subject of receiving the Word, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to remove the wickedness. We're going to remove the impediments. And I think about farming, and I think about our family farm out in Colorado, and the first thing that's done before the harvest is sown is they break up the fallow ground. And it's amazing to me that though that ground has been plowed for generations now by my great-grandfather, my grandfather, now my uncles and cousins, that land still, every year, rocks will come up. Amazing. You can have a downpour of rain for 20, 30 minutes, and up to the surface will come more rocks and sometimes Indian pottery and just stuff that's been in that field for probably a couple thousand years or more. And so they've got to go in and they've got to take that stuff out of the field so that when they plant, the beans or the wheat are going to come up and they're going to prosper. Now, very simply, when we look at this matter of receiving the Word, God says, if you're going to get my Word, you got to lay aside some things. Now, notice that in verse 21. Lay apart, and then He gives us these descriptives. The word lay apart means to put aside. When I go out to the family farm in Colorado, you walk around those fields. On one side are some pinyon trees. On the other side is just field for hundreds of acres. But one of the things I always notice is all along the little road that goes around the fields, maybe about every couple of hundred yards, there's a big stack of rock. It's shale rock. Some of it's 12 inches long, 4 inches deep. Some of it's 8 inches, or just all different shapes. And on the front of the old John Deere 4020 tractor, And on most of those tractors, there's a bucket in the front, or kind of a box. And what we would do is we were driving along the tractors. If we got some rocks caught up in the back in the equipment, or if we saw one up in the front, then my granddad said, you put that tractor in neutral, you jump off, and you go out and you get the rock, and you put it in the bucket. When you get to the end of the row, you get off again, you take that rock, and you throw it over into the rock pile. And I'm telling you that there are dozens and dozens of rock pile on that farm, and I mean, some of them are 4, 5, 6 feet tall, and they're 30, 40 feet wide. And here's the amazing thing for me to think about it, is that my grandfather, over the course of his, whatever, 40-some years of farming, took the vast majority of those rocks with his own hands out of those fields and put them in those piles. And they're monuments to his work ethic every time you see them. And here's the thing. Because of that, he had a successful operation. He had, as the Lord gave the rain and God gave the increase, year after year of blessing. But what I want you to remember is that without that process of getting the impediments out of the field, those crops would never grow. And the thing is that every one of us have impediments in our hearts that need to be laid aside. Sometimes I think about the services over in Korea. As I grew up there as a missionary son in the teen years, and the Christians would come into those churches and they would not talk about sports and all of the rest of that. They'd do it afterwards. But when they would get into church, sometimes 20 minutes early, the thing that they would do, they would pray and they would get their heart ready. And they would lay aside any of the other distractions because they were about to hear the man of God preach the word of God. That's how they would view it. And they wanted to get the word of God into their heart. And they would lay those things aside. So lay apart means to set aside. The word filthiness speaks of that which is dishonoring or that which is defiled. God says, I want you to lay aside anything that is filthy in your heart, in your mind. Some things that you've been struggling with or battling with in your mind, lay it aside. Because the devil, listen, the devil will bring wicked thoughts into someone's mind even while they're in church. And God says, when you open my book, I want you to lay aside everything. I want you to set aside the rocks and the weeds so that you can focus on my word. Then he says, lay aside filthiness. Then he uses the word naughtiness, which speaks here of impurity. It speaks of maliciousness. And he says, I want you to lay that aside. Lehman Strauss says, our modern use of the word naughtiness causes me to hesitate to use it. We seldom ever use it today except to refer to some mild juvenile misdeed. But the word here really speaks of uncleanness, and it speaks of maliciousness in a very harmful way. And just as Paul admonished the Corinthians, here we see James admonishing the churches of Asia Minor. Lay aside all of that which is filthy, all of that which is naughty. And then he uses another word that's not as often used today either. And it is the word superfluity of naughtiness. Superfluity means the abundance of it and that which is running over to wickedness. And so tonight, as we open the Word of God, we need to be reminded for this moment, but for all future moments, that when the Word of God is open, we need to lay aside anything that's filthy, anything that's wrong, anything that's malicious, anything that is hindering us from receiving the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you after 30-some years of preaching now that when you preach the Word of God to a man or a woman that has these elements in their heart, it's going to bounce off just like a super ball off the wall. I don't care if the Apostle Paul was here preaching tonight. If there are these elements in your heart, lustful thoughts, wicked thoughts, hateful thoughts, malicious thoughts, and if we don't repent of that, then the Word of God is not going to, it's like there's a glaze over. It's like someone is on some kind of drug, and they're just not going to get it. And God says, you've got to lay it aside and remove the wickedness, and then secondly, receive the Word. Now that you've laid aside these impediments, now you can receive the Word. But notice how it mentions the Word here in verse 21. It says, receive with, what's the next word say, class? Meekness. Receive with meekness. Now, I'm going to tell you something that is amazing to me, and that is that in Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible says, these things doth the Lord hate. And then he gives the list. And he gives six. He says, yea, these are an abomination to the Lord. And he mentions this one, a proud look. A proud look. And at the root of every sin that we ever commit or thought that we ever have, at the root of all of that is pride. And the reason that we would open up the infallible Word of God, and the reason that we would act like we don't really need it or we already know it, is because we're so filled up with ourselves that we have convinced ourselves that we're something that we're not. Now, here's the honest truth. Yes, we're all sinners saved by grace. Thank God for His grace. But the honest truth is, all of us on the road to sanctification have a ways to go, and none of us will be perfect until we see Jesus Christ face to face. And so we need to receive it with meekness. I don't care if it's teen night and a 12-year-old boy's up here preaching the Word of God. We ought to have an open heart to receive the Word of God. And we teach a particular kind of sermon development at West Coast Baptist College, and we typically try to preach expositorially and verse by verse in this church. But I've tried to help our church family understand that different men of God will preach here from time to time with sometimes a different style or background, so long as it's a biblical context and a biblical application. Listen, we ought to have one attitude toward biblical preaching, and that is, I want to receive what God's about to tell me. Not a super analytical to the point that we're criticizing style, but looking for the message, because God wants to speak to us. How many of you believe the Bible is a God-breathed book? And it's alive, and we're laying aside sin, and now we're receiving it meekly. But notice next it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word. And that word means implanted by others' instruction. Implanted by others' instruction. God says, I want to implant my word into your heart. And here we see that it is engrafted by the Holy Spirit, so that the living out of the Word of God is incorporated into our lives. And this is God's will. God wants us to receive the engrafted Word. Our heart is compared here to a garden. And if it is left unattended, your heart and mine will grow over with weeds. I don't care whether you're saved or not. If you leave your heart unattended, if you're not laying aside the superfluity and the naughtiness and the wickedness, then your heart will grow over with weeds. And so we pull the weeds out. And then we say, Spirit of God, engraft your word into my heart. I want your word, watch this, to grow up out of my heart so that when people see my life, they see your word in my life. They see that the seed has been planted and it's growing and bearing forth much fruit. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse the church by the washing of the water by the word. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So here's the picture tonight. The picture is that the growing of the seed of the Word of God is displacing what the other elements of the heart could have been. How many of you would like to have such an outcropping of God's Word in your heart that there's just not a lot of room for sin to grow in that heart? That's the idea. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word, so that our heart is fertile soil for the Word of God, for the Holy Spirit, and so that the other things that would come in and the seeds that Satan would plant have little room to grow. Now, that doesn't mean that you're sinlessly perfected. It just simply says that your engrafted Word has the priority in your life, and you're being sanctified through the Word of God. The Bible is very clear about that. Salvation begins with the incorruptible seed, but we must also live a sanctified life through the Word of God. So we're to receive the word with meekness. And then also notice in verse 21 it says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And so we must receive it also with faith. We must receive the word of God as the engrafted word with faith. Hebrews 4:2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So then faith, Romans says, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to lay aside the superfluity, the naughtiness, the sinful distractions. I'm going to receive with meekness the engrafted Word. And by faith, as I receive the engrafted Word, then I'm going to grow spiritually. The Word of God is going to increase in my life. The devil's going to try to sow doubt. The devil's going to try to sow discouragement. But I'm going to keep my faith in the Word of God. And what a blessing that is. And then I want you to notice, not only are we to receive the Word of God, but then we're going to take it one step further and we're going to heed the Word of God. Roman numeral 2, heed the word of God. Look, if you would, at verse 22. But it says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, we've all quoted that verse 100 times. But let's quote it again right now, all right? So here it is, James 1 and verse 22. Ready to begin. But be ye doers of the word. All right, so we're receiving the engrafted word, but now we're going to listen to the word. We're gonna truly listen. Now, wives, how many wives are in here? Raise your hand. Let me see where the wives are. How many of you have said tons of words at a given time to your husband, and you're quite confident he never heard one of them? Any testimonies? Can I get a testimony on that? All right. Now, I don't even have to ask my wife, because she would say, I've said thousands of words at a time, and sometimes, boy, I tell you, sometimes I'm just kind of a knucklehead, and I've got all these things going on in my mind, and I come home, and I don't park all of that and start really listening like I should. And honestly, that's a terrible thing when that's the thought process in your marriage. There ought to be clear communication between a husband and a wife. And if we're indifferent or too busy all the time, and that's the pattern, then you need to park your little pattern and ask some forgiveness and get back on the trail of communication with your spouse. Because what your wife has to say is important, or what your husband has to say is important. Can I get an amen on that? But now let me tell you something. If it's important to hear your spouse out, how much more important is it to hear God out? And so, how amazing that God has to tell me, don't forget to hear what I'm telling you. But that's exactly what he's saying. I want you to be a hearer of the word. Now, how important is this? I'll tell you how important it is. I believe with all of my heart that the vast majority of Christendom tonight, those that are saved, are not hearing God speak. And I'm telling you, millions of professing Christians are not in tune with God. They might as well be listening to a radio that's just giving them static electricity, because they're not hearing from the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3, that's exactly what will happen. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. That's exactly what's happening in the Laodicean lukewarm age in which we live, churches that are more lukewarm. Hey, when the rock band is playing, yeah, this is awesome, radical dude, turn it up. But when the man of God opens the word of God, oh man, we're just going to get over anyways, Mildred. And the Bible says very clearly, they turn their ears away from the truth. Now, church family, the whole theme this year, launch out at His word. At Your word, Lord, I will. You're not going to get out of the bay unless you truly are listening, hearing the word of God. So He says, I want you to listen to the word of God. And Mark 7:16, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear, Jesus said. That's a common phrase. Listen to the word of God. Secondly, then, we need to live out the word of God. So He says in verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So we're to hear the word of God, but we're to then live out. Be ye. That means to come into existence. The verb is in the imperative, and it reminds us that we are to continually be doing what the word of God tells us. I always think of the young pastor that was a brand new pastor, just installed into his pastorate, probably about the age of Josh Tanner, who we ordained a few weeks ago. So he goes to his church and he preaches his first sermon, and it's a great sermon. And there's, you know, three or four elderly men in the church, and they come up to him, hey, that was a good sermon, that was a good sermon.